listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a microbe's eye look at what makes us human.
But first, with deer bow hunting season kicking off soon, new research shows that chronic wasting disease caused a 10% population decline in white-tailed deer in a part of Wyoming, with drastically reduced survival rates in the deer population. Chronic wasting disease is caused by a prion or malformed protein in the brain, similar to mad cow disease.
We have it here in Wisconsin, too, with recent numbers showing an increase of infected deer to its highest level ever, despite less testing taking place this year. Joining us now is Michael Samuel, professor of wildlife ecology and assistant unit leader of the Wisconsin Cooperative Wildlife Research Unit of the U.S. Geological Survey. He researches chronic wasting disease. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. We've been trying to understand this disease for quite a while now.
Yeah, before we get to some of this new research, can you bring us up to date? We've been talking about this in Wisconsin for well over a decade now. How bad is it in our state now?
Well, it's not quite as bad as it is in places like Wyoming in the study you just talked about, but we're headed in that direction, and that's a big concern.
Right, things are worse in a place like Wyoming, mainly, I assume, just because they've had it there longer.
That's pretty much what we think is the case, yes. We think we've had it here for probably a couple of decades at least, but they've had it longer out there.
So this study we mentioned, it's not the first study that tries to come to grips with these numbers, but what does it tell us about the impact of chronic wasting disease on a deer population in an area?
Well, I think it sort of confirms some of the science we've been doing that says as this disease becomes more and more prevalent, it has a larger impact on the population. And as that prevalence increases to some level, it basically, enough deer die from the disease that they can't keep up and the populations begin to decline.
What is current management practice here in Wisconsin when it comes to CWD?
I would say there really isn't a current management practice per se. Particularly in the south central part of the state where we've had chronic wasting disease and has continued to grow in prevalence. Pretty much the actions that have been taken are to monitor what's happening with the disease, but there really isn't any activity going on in terms of trying to control it.
Are there successful strategies that people have tried elsewhere?
That's the really tough part of this. Once the disease gets established, nobody's really been successful at sort of getting rid of it or even doing a really good job at controlling it. In areas where they've just found it, just recently, like New York, they seem to have been successful at eradicating it by being really aggressive. And I think that's a pretty good strategy if we can detect it early.
What happened in Wisconsin? Did we not detect it early enough, or were we, in hindsight, not aggressive enough in trying to keep it from spreading?
Well, I think the first answer is probably the most important one. We didn't detect it early enough. Our best science says that it was probably here for quite a while before we actually discovered it. And to be honest, it was almost an accident the way it was discovered to begin with.
How did we discover it? What was the accident that led to that?
The accident was that one of the people who was running the DNR chronic wasting disease testing program wanted to do deer testing near where she lived instead of traveling all over the state to do it. And so it was decided to be done near Mount Horeb, and that's when we discovered the disease.
Talking about chronic wasting disease among deer in Wisconsin and elsewhere, new research shows the impact the disease is having on populations when the disease really takes root. Michael Samuel is with us, professor of wildlife ecology. He's also with the U.S. Geological Survey. Mike, tell us more about the disease. What is it and how does it spread?
Well, we're still learning how it spreads, but one of the sort of the big picture is that as prevalence increases, the rate at which new susceptible deer become infected continues to increase as well. So, for example, if prevalence goes from 10% to 20%, then the probability of a susceptible deer becoming infected doubles. And so it in that sense, it becomes almost a positive feedback system. The higher prevalence gets, the more deer become infected. And that especially is the case because it takes about 2 years or so for the disease to run its full course in deer. And so more deer are becoming all infected all the time. And as that continues to increase, it's going to begin to have population impacts here as well.
Now, Let's talk about consumption of deer that have the disease. How are we doing on testing deer that have been taken over the course of the deer hunt? What are the advisories for hunters who catch who take in a deer and get a test positive?
Well, the World Health Organization recommends that no one consume known meat that's been that is prion contaminated, which CWD is one of the prion diseases. So it's recommended that people don't consume it, and I think that recommendation comes because we simply don't have enough good science at this point to know what the risk is to humans. I think most people would consider the risk to be fairly low, but it's difficult to say that it's that how low it is.
So what are our options here in Wisconsin? You said there's effectively no management strategy. I guess we're just letting this run its course. What should we be doing beyond that?
Well, so the DNR does have a testing program, of course, where hunters who want their deer tested can have it tested. So that's at least a very positive thing. Many people don't have their deer tested, and some people certainly consume the deer after they know it's been tested and positive. Management is really a tough issue. As I mentioned, as prevalence continues to increase, more deer will die from the disease. And we think that the one way to try to control it would be to try to reduce prevalence. One of the patterns that we typically see with this disease is that males have a much higher prevalence, about twice the prevalence of females. So if we can reduce prevalence in males by reducing the number of males, we might be able to help reduce prevalence in the population. The other big problem we have is that the higher prevalence gets, the more young deer become infected as well, and those are the ones that disperse across the landscape and spread the disease. So in order to do, we need to reduce prevalence to reduce that spread across the landscape. It would also help to reduce the number of deer so that we don't have so many dispersing as well.
So reducing the numbers of deer and reducing the number of males, not popular options, as I understand it, with a lot of the hunters in the state. I don't know how much you look at the politics surrounding this issue, but is that an obstacle to overcome if you want to put these into practice?
It's a huge obstacle. And until we have, you know, a silver bullet like a vaccine or something like that, there's going to be no simple solution to this disease. There's going to be pain and suffering, and people are going to be unhappy. In the long run, the disease is going to take a stronger hold, and we're going to be like Wyoming, like the study you just quoted, and our deer populations are going to decline, or we won't be able to hunt them as much as the other alternative. So in the long run, we're going to have to pay the price here.
Now, you mentioned a possible future vaccine. As I understand it, this is a disease that's caused by a prion, a weird protein, like mad cow disease. That's not a virus where we'd usually see a vaccine created for, right? It's a different sort of disease, isn't it?
It is a different sort of disease, and that's made that idea of creating a vaccine for it very challenging. There was a recent study that was done to a trial of a vaccine that was developed in Canada, and it turned out that the vaccine actually made it eight times more likely that animals would become infected. And so we have a lot to learn about how to deal with this disease and how to develop a vaccine. And certainly there's nothing on the horizon that's going to be on the near horizon that's going to be a silver bullet here.
So you're not sounding optimistic, at least in the near term, about this disease here in Wisconsin?
I'm not, particularly if we can't figure out a way to try to reduce the spread of it and try to control prevalence.
Do you see, before we wrap up, do you see other states being more proactive, trying to do some of the things you would like Wisconsin to do?
Well, I think other states are beginning to now realize that they need to get out in front of this disease and try to do something. And so I don't think there's a consensus yet as to what to do. Illinois has tried a sharpshooting program, which they believe has been successful in some respects. But certainly the disease seems to be spreading through Illinois as well. So other than the situation in New York where they seem to have caught the disease early, no one's figured out the right strategy quite yet.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Michael Samuel, professor of wildlife ecology and assistant unit leader of the Wisconsin Cooperative Wildlife Research Unit for the U.S. Geological Survey.